church would stand and sing, "Because He Lives."
God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior.
That's a good-looking kid standing around you. They are downstairs today as well. Good Brother Tato's out of town again. Brother Mitchell went in, what was it, Friday? Friday. He called me and he said, "Can you get Brother Howard to take me to the hospital and have Brother Pichot come pick up my bicycle?" Because he was at work. He said, "I'm in terrible stomach pain." And Brother Pichot went and took him to the hospital and then picked up his bicycle. It's funny, Brother Mitchell has a funny sense of humor. Saturday when I called him back to see how he was doing, because they were supposed to, when they took him in, they found out he had gallstones. Some of you ever had gallstones? I have not, so I'm thankful for that, because it sounded a lot like kidney stones. He was bent over in pain. They were supposed to do surgery Saturday morning, so that's what we was all praying for. But Saturday morning they put him out, and then they went in to try to break the gallstones up. So see if they could get them to pass. They didn't pass. So then when I talked to him again in the afternoon, when I thought surgery would be over, it had not even begun, and he thought he'd be going into surgery. He didn't do surgery until 11 o'clock last night, and the reason for that was since they knocked him out early in the morning, they did not want to put him out again. He finally talked them into it, or they talked themselves into it. 11 o'clock last night, they went in and took his gallbladder out. And then also he had asked, he said, I'm going to see if they'll fix my hernia while they're in there. And so they did that too. So he, I called last night several times. He never called. And I thought, I may have to go down to the hospital and force my way in to find out, because I didn't know if he put anyone down to call. And I told him, I said, I felt like a parent with one of my kids out on a date. You didn't come home, so it makes it hard to sleep at night. So I said, call me. He said, well, it was 11 o'clock. I said, you haven't lit? I said, I stay awake till 11, 12, 1, 2 o'clock. I said, I'm a night person. Now, don't call me early in the morning like some people in here do, because I'm still awake. And if you ask me if you woke me up, I'll tell you no, because you didn't wake me up. The phone rang and woke me up, okay? He called me a few minutes ago. I was leading a song in children's church before Sunday school, and he said, they're letting me out at noon. So he was up walking last night, and they're letting him out today. So is the ride arranged? Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. I figured I better ask now, because I'll forget, and then he'll call me at 12 o'clock and say, who's here? And be like, oh, crap, I'm sorry, Brother Mitchell. So I did that one time to Miss Perry. She said she doesn't remember. She called me for a ride for something, and I meant to call somebody, and this was like 25 years ago. So the good news is she probably doesn't remember now. For some reason, I can't remember my name sometimes, but I remember that 25 years ago. A little bit later, I thought, oh, man, Mrs. Perry was wanting to ride, and I called her and said, I'm so sorry. You're not still stuck over there, are you? And she said, oh, no. I mean, she got someone else to pick her up, but I was supposed to arrange a ride. So when I'm in charge of that, I try to do it right away so I don't forget, because otherwise I will remember later, but it's too late. So, but again, he is doing well. You're going to send him home today. So thank you for praying for Brother Mitchell, and thank you for praying all day. Finally, he did have the surgery late last night. Thank you. Went well, so keep him in prayer as far as his recovery time. Good to see you all here today on this Easter Sunday. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for this morning. Pray, Lord, you just help us to get something from the Sunday school lesson and bless the preaching going on here in the children's church later. Thank you for taking care of Brother Mitchell. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
All right, let's sing He Lives. Let's sing about He Lives on Easter Sunday. Yeah.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice appear. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the worlds around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to within
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you and thank you so much, Lord, for your death, burial, and resurrection that we might have this eternal life. We thank you for your blessings upon our lives. We thank you for our friends and our family. Father, we think of them this morning as we know that some of them are sick and have illnesses and surgeries. And I just pray you'd be with them and comfort them and help them. We pray, Father, for our nation this morning. As we see most clearly, Lord, this morning that what you've already predicted and prophesied is coming to pass. We look forward to your coming, Lord. And Father, we pray this morning you'll be with the services this morning here and everywhere that the gospel is preached. We ask, Father, you'd bless those that are here this morning with outcries that you'd draw them to you, that they receive you as your Savior. And Father, we pray for those that take care of us, Lord, and protect us, the military, our police officers, and the EMS folks, Lord, that come to our aid when we have needs. Father, we'd ask you to guide and direct us for today in all that we do. Forgive us where we failed you. Ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do we have a special or no?
Okay, I just didn't want to skip ahead. I don't always know your schedule. All right, gentlemen, that's passing out lessons. If you hop up and pass out a lesson, everybody, we'd appreciate it. Douglas, start right here in the middle here. Thank you, sir. Nathan's going all the way over there. Mr. Sells is starting over here, and you guys can meet in the middle. Douglas, don't miss anyone. These folks here, they're feeling kind of bad. No lesson. All right, Mr. Sells, you're now lessons. You still got plenty? Douglas will have some extras if you need some more. Nathan, you back down over there? Son, stop farting around. Let's go.
Come on, let's go.
All right. Did you get everybody over here? You're a good man. I'm not sure about these other guys, but you're a good man. Douglas, the young man right back there. Apparently next time I'll have to get some girls to help me because the guys apparently don't know how to pass out papers, but no big deal. We're going to work it out. Thank you, Douglas. Here, there's still some folks waving at you, Douglas. Everyone waving at you needs a lesson. Nathan, folks here in the middle didn't get them because Mr. Sells ran out. All right, turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 17. That's where we'll start, 2 Samuel chapter 17. Thank you. Douglas, lay yours on the very back pew back there. That way if anyone comes in, they can get one. 2 Samuel chapter 17. Now I'm going to have you do like I do sometimes in Sunday school. If you're willing to read a verse or two this morning and help me out, if you'll just raise up your hand, I'm going to give you a text. I'm going to give you some verses to turn to. Anyone over here that have a Bible and willing to read? Brother Wallace, you'll have 2 Samuel chapter 19, 32 and 35. Anyone else over here willing to read? Stephen, you'll have 2 Samuel 17, 27 to 28. We'll need that again in a moment. Anyone in this section willing to read? Brother Hauser, you'll have 2 Samuel 19, 31. Anyone else over here? Anyone in here? Anyone over here willing to? Sean, you'll have 2 Samuel chapter 19, 33 through 37. Miss Nico, you'll have 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 39. Anyone else needing something to read? Nathan, you got a Bible? Thank you for volunteering, Nathan. You will have Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Caleb, you got a Bible? You'll have Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. And who have I not picked on? Brother Marino? Oh, Roland, you got a Bible? Good. You'll have Matthew chapter 23, verses 10 and 11. We'll need those if we get that far. Probably won't say his name correctly every time, but we're going to look at the guy named Barzillai. Knows in your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 27. Now, for those of you turning to other places, you'll just have to listen. And it came to pass, when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobai, the son of Nahash, of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Makar, the son of Amilai, and Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gideonite of Rogalim. Now, here's what he brought. He brought beds and basins, earthen vessels, and wheat, barley, and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kind for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Now, at this time, he is running from his son Absalom. He is on the run. He's been on the run for a while. And during this time, David is not some of the people that he thought was his friends. He found out they were not. Sometimes he found out someone he didn't realize was his friends. He found out they were. And I have this in my lesson. When people in the hospital, when people have someone, a loved one die and they're having a funeral, or they're down, or they're discouraged. When you are a blessing and a help to them at that time, they will remember you for a long time. Those times are very special times. So if you're wondering now, by the way, they might forget to tell you thank you at that time because of the fact that they're emotional, got a lot in their mind. But I can tell you they will appreciate. How many of you remember, had his name a second ago, she died in Wilford Hall. We used to bake. We took turns taking care of her. Mrs. Come on. Some of you took hours. We took shifts sitting for her in the hospital. Her husband lived in Heritage Park in the wedding street. You guys have memories as bad as I do. That's not good. I'm old. You're not. Well, I guess everyone that would remember them. Yes, ma'am. Blackburn. There you go. Thank you. I'm glad you still can remember. Now I knew. I didn't know the Blackburns real well. I knew them. I shook hands with them. I said hi to them. I didn't know them real well. But during the time that we babysitted and helped him, because he couldn't be there 24/7, he just wore himself out. She was dying of cancer. And by the way, she was a lady that refused to believe she had cancer. She was expecting to get up any day and go back home. And it finally hit her that that God was going to take her home. That was tough for her. So we had set up shifts. We set up people in either 2 or 4 hour shifts. We went to Wilford Hall. At that time, the hospital was still there, which tells you how long ago it was. But we would take shifts sitting with her at night so that he could go home and sleep. And then the night that they called me and said, whoever was sitting that night said, she's about to go. You need to go get him. I went and knocked on his door. Couldn't get him to answer the door. Went around, got through the fence somehow. I don't know if I had to crawl the fence, knocked on his window, tried to get him awake. That night, he had been having so much trouble sleeping, the doctor had given him a sleeping pill. And he was so sound asleep, I pounded on the doors and the windows. Finally, he woke up and I said, we got to go. Your wife is passing. They want you at the hospital. We jumped in. I drove to the Wilford Hall, dropped him off. By the time I got through parking, went back up, she had already passed. Now, I didn't know Brother Blackburn very well before then. The fact that she passed, he remembered me for a long time. I mean, and he thanked me. I don't know how many, he didn't just thank me once. He thanked me many, many times for the fact that we had been a blessing to him and to her. And I tell people all the time, it's tough to help people during those times, but they really appreciate it. David's on the run. So David's in one of those tough times. David, things are not going good for David. They're hungry. If you read the story, they're hungry. They're tired. They don't have a place to sleep. Now, by the way, camping's fun when you do it voluntarily. Camping's not fun when you don't do it voluntarily. All right? Camping's fun for a day or two. Sleeping on the ground every day is not fun, especially, and again, we usually go camping in the summertime. Now, understand, when you're on the run, you don't get to choose the season. When someone's looking for you, you don't have to say, you know what, you can hate me, but come back in a couple months when it warms up, and then I'll take off. I mean, you don't get to plan that stuff. I don't know what time of year it was, but I can tell you they weren't out having a good time camping out in the woods. Sleeping in the cave, sleeping on the ground. But Barzillai and his folks brought them beds, basins, earthen vessels, wheat and barley, and flour, and parched corn, and beans, and lentils, and parched pulse. And by the way, then they brought some good stuff. Then it's like saying, and candy, and ice cream. Because that's, again, if you've ever had stuff without the honey and the butter, I mean, it makes a difference. I mean, that biscuit's good. But if you put some honey and butter on it, it's much better. Most things are better with honey. I tell people all the time, everything's better with bacon, and everything's better with butter. You want to know the best way to eat a Pop-Tart? Put a Pop-Tart in the toaster or the microwave. When it pops up, take some butter, spread it on there, and then take your knife and cut off all the crust on the outside that doesn't have the icing or any filling, and that's usually a little bit, and then eat the rest, okay? It's kind of like take the edge off your bread and eat the rest. I mean, that's the good stuff. But again, he said, and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kind for David and for the people that were with him. Now, they could have just, he would have brought a lot less if he just came and took care of David. But he didn't just take care of David. He didn't just bring a little bit and treat David right. By the way, David was the previous king. He didn't do that. He took care of David and David's family and all of David's followers. So again, he put on a big feat here. I mean, this was very expensive and a lot of work. And he says this because the people was hungry, weary, and thirsty in the wilderness. So today we want to look at Barzillai, a very great man. Let's pray and we'll get started on the lesson real quick. Father, bless the time we have together in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me find my water. Now, notice in your notes, it says this in the introduction. Barzillai was 80 years old. Now, that comes from 1932 over there in the box on the side. Says Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. So 4 times 20 gives you 80. And it says when King David was on the run from his rebellious son, Barzillai brought him beds, basins, and food. And by the way, if you just read the lesson, you think, well, that's not that much. But if you read the Bible, you realize they kind of narrowed it down. I mean, he brought him more than just food, basins, and beds. He brought him, a bunch of stuff. Food wasn't just food. It was a spread. I mean, and again, to carry the basins and the earthen. Now, I don't know if you've been eating, on leaves or on your hand, but when you finally get a plate again and a spoon or a knife, you feel civilized again. That's what he did. He brought all that stuff. He brought him some vessels to put stuff in, earthen vessels. Now, notice it goes on and says this. David never forgot. Now, we'll see that in a little bit. But David never forgot. Now, the running's not over. It's not like this ends it and they're having a party and now he goes back to the palace. That's not the case. He's still on the run. But when he does get back in the kingdom and he does get back in power, he doesn't forget the man that helped him. This old man that came to his aid and lended him some help. Now notice in the second paragraph it says this. King David blessed Barzillai when he returned from fighting Absalom. Now notice in your Bibles, he was in 17. Go to 19. Do I have someone reading verse 39? Anyone in here reading verse 39? Nico, stand and read that for us, please. 19:39. So if you're wondering, did he remember him? Now again, understand, David's met hundreds of people. David had thousands of men and women in his kingdom. Now, I asked a kid one day. Now, I know all the kids at our school because we have less than 20 kids. But do you think that every teacher at John Jay, a school of 3,000 to 5,000, do you think they know every student by name? May not even by face. The truth is, even if you live in a place like Heritage Park or Heritage Northwest, there are several hundred families there. You might know your neighbors. You might even know their kids, but you don't know all the folks that live in your subdivision. So if you're wondering, did David know all of his people? Of course he didn't. There's no way he could. He had a million followers when he was in the kingdom or more. Possibly several. But in this case, you say, did he remember Barzillai? And the answer to that is, yes, he did. That verse said he remembered him. When he finally got back in power, what happened was, he kissed him, he blessed him, and again, he remembered what he had done for David and his people. Now, as it goes on, it says this, God will bless those who care for him. Now, just as they cared for David, their king, we should care for our king. Now, as it goes on, and it makes some very important statements. Barzillai's care for the king caused him to go where the king was, to give what he had for the king's use, and to glory in his return. Likens that to, so we as children of God should, again, ought to be where the king is. What's he say about church? Where two or more together, together, there am I in the midst. So if you want to know where the king's at, today he's right here. Okay? He's here in church with us. So you ought to go where the king is. By the way, you ought to give what we have for the king's use. Your talents, your abilities, whatever God's blessed you with, give it for the king's use. And by the way, we should glory, we should look forward to the king's return. So Barzillai, the lessons that we can learn from him, we can apply those to us as Christians. Now notice it goes on and says this before we get to the points. Greatness is not defined by what we make of ourselves, but by what we make of God. Now he did not make much of himself that day. He made much of the king that day. And by the way, we'll look at it later. The disciples often had discussions about who was going to be the greatest. And Jesus did not have a very high opinion of those discussions. And we'll see that in a few moments. But again, Barzillai did not make a lot of himself. He made a lot of the king. He gloried in his king. Now, we want to look at the man himself. Some of the verses may be repetitious, but we want you to see that. First off, we already told you he was 80 years old. Who has 2 Kings 19, 32 and 35? Was that you, Brother Wallace? Samuel, I'm sorry. Yes, Samuel. Yeah, don't read Kings. That won't help us any. 32 and 35. Not all the way, but just those two.
Can
Now, we'll look at it later, but the reason he said this to King David, King David made him an offer. We'll look at that offer in a few moments. It'll be in one of the points. I don't know what it is because I studied the lesson several times. But he made him that in the last verse he read. What he says is, why do you make me that? What he's saying is, why do you make me this offer? What good's it to me? Now, he said, can I hear the thing? What he meant was, my eyesight's going. My hearing's going. And by the way, does that happen when we get old? And the answer to that is yes. That's why that's like, who is that back here? And if you squint, we can tell who it is. And if you ever go to the eye doctor, you know what they always tell you? Don't squint. All right, just read what you can read. Stop that squinting. Because, by the way, squinting means you get a little bit better vision, but you don't want to do that all the time. You don't always want to be squinting. By the way, it's like, what? What did you say? Huh? I mean, my grandmother, my mother-in-law, always, my wife and I, we get cracked up. Because when she lived with us, we'd come in the house. Now, she couldn't hear, I mean, hardly anything. She can hear a little bit now because they did some more work on her ears. But she couldn't hear anything. So she anticipated what we was going to say. And then she answered what she thought we was going to say. We'd walk in, and we'd go, how you doing? And she'd always go, fine, we're okay. And then she'd, and by the way, that usually was the first question we ask her. But if we ask her something else, again, her answer was fine, okay. Then we asked her the next question, and it never, you could tell she didn't know what we said, because it never, and so we would laugh, but we didn't laugh. Good news was, she was sitting in the chair, facing the TV, we were behind her. But we always got a big grin on her face, because we could tell she had no idea what we just said. Now, she was talking to us, but she had no idea what we just said, so she just answered. She answered what she thought we said, and we carried on the conversation, and whatever she said had nothing to do with the conversation, but we just carried it on anyway. So, again, when you get old, your eyesight goes, your hearing goes, his memory goes. But, again, he was an 80-year-old man. Notice number B, he brought King David food and help when he was in the wilderness. Does someone have 2 Samuel 17, 27, 28? Stephen, read that for us. So he brought him stuff. Now, we'd read those verses for the text. I just wanted to reread them. But again, he brought him stuff when he was in need, in the wilderness, when he was on the run. Number C, he conducted King David back over Jordan. Now, when David's getting ready to go back to the palace, Barzillai meets him again. He helps him in the wilderness. Now he meets him again. And he goes, he's going to go with him as he goes over Jordan, which means, I mean, you're heading back home. Now you're no longer in the wilderness. Now you're back in the promised land. Because, again, remember, Jordan's over the promised land's over Jordan. Because that's, remember, where Moses and the children of Israel got stuck at the River Jordan when they sent the spies in. And the spies came back, with a bad report. So when he crossed the Jordan, he's back in the homeland. He's back kind of on the home property. But Barzillai helps him, escorts him there. 2 Samuel 19. I know I have someone reading verse 31. Who was that? And you're going to read verse 32 as well, Brother Hauser, because I didn't get anyone to read that one. And read verse 32.
Now, Barzillai was a very aged man, even 40 years old. And he had provided the king of such sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man.
Now, he mentions that. He mentions very great man. Now, he didn't just say a great man. He said a very great man. By the way, he also didn't say an aged man. He said a very aged man. So, again, those of you in school know those are adjectives, and he threw a couple of them in there. It's one thing to be said if you say I'm fat. It's another thing if you say I'm very fat, okay? It's one thing to say I'm ugly. It's another thing to say you're very ugly. I mean, so in this case, he said he's old. Oh, he's very old. I mean, he's great, but he's not just great. He's very great. So, again, a double adjective there telling us about this fellow. But, again, he escorted him over Jordan. Now, what it meant was, I mean, he was with him. What he was saying is, I'm with you till you're safe again. Now, again, you say, well, what was he going to do? Apparently, at 80 years old, he was still willing to fight. Because if there's anyone that's going to stop him from getting back and taking over the kingdom of the palace, guess what they're going to do? They're going to meet him right there before he gets back in and gets back where he's got his guard and all the rest of it. So he escorts him over Jordan River. And once he's across the river and he's safe now back in the promised land, he heads back home. Notice in your lesson, it says he was a very great man. C and D covered that. Notice number E. And again, who has 19:33 through 37? Did I have anyone do that? There you go. Sean, read that for us, please. Recompense. Now, when he's now that he's escorted him to Jordan River, David makes him an offer. He says, "Listen to me. You helped me in a tough time. Come live with me in the palace." Now, would that be an honor for anybody? And the answer to that would be yes, a great honor. Not a greater honor you could give. What David was saying is, from now on, you don't have to worry about a thing. I'll take care of you for the rest of your life. Now, again, understand he's 80 years old, so that would come in really handy. You know, one of the toughest things nowadays is when we get older. Now, they actually sell it. You can actually buy like an insurance, because I know because my brother bought it from my mom. You can buy an insurance that helps pay for the nursing home and the adult care type of stuff. They didn't used to have that. And if your insurance didn't cover it or you didn't have money, I mean, you're in a tough place. And by the way, some of those places are very, very expensive. I know some of the places, I don't know all of them, but one of the last places we looked into was $3,000 to $5,000 a month for the older folks to live in. I mean, again, most of us don't make that much in our whole budget. But again, that's how much it costs to live in that nursing facility. But again, in our old age, isn't it nice to have someone take care of us? And the answer to that would be, you bet it would be. Wouldn't it be nice to have a servant? Wouldn't it be nice to have a servant or two? Wouldn't it be nice to have all your meals prepared? Have someone hold your arm as you toddle outside to sit out in the sun and enjoy the birds singing in the garden? And so David was offering him, the final days of luxury. I mean, and again, understand David had it to offer. Now, one of the reasons he had it to offer was, back when he was struggling, back when he was hungry, back when he was tired, back when he was weary, Barzillai came and took care of him, helped him through a tough time. And again, later on, now he's going back to power, and he offers him a place in his kingdom. He refuses, and here's what he says, "I'm old." And here's what he says, "What good am I to you anymore?" That's really what he was saying. "How am I going to be helpful to you? I'm not going to be helpful to you." Now, David wasn't doing it because he needed another soldier. Now, by the way, if you're wondering whether he was very strong, it was. Whether he was a great man, he was. By the way, would he have still fought at 80 years old? Apparently. That's why he escorted him across River Jordan. If anyone's going to bother him, anyone attacks you, me and my men are here to help you. I mean, he was ready to help David go into battle. And so David offers this to him, and he refuses. He then throws out a name. Notice in verse 37, he throws out a name. But you can help my servant Chimham. Anyone want to guess or give a guess to who Chimham was? Kitty, who do you think he was? No guess? Brother Perry? Roy, you know? Who was he? Some say actually was his son. Some think he was his youngest son. Now, by the way, usually the older boys already have stuff. I mean, and the oldest one gets twice as much inheritance anyway. So what he said is, you know what? You can do something for my youngest son here. And again, some think he was a servant that was like a son. Others think he was actually his youngest boy. But he said, you know what? I don't need anything. But you know what? You could be a big blessing to this guy. And again, if you think that wasn't to set him up and give him some opportunities, I mean, it'd be like a commanding officer say, come on, I mean, hang out with me. I mean, learn from me. Follow me around for a little while. And not only was it a benefit to him then, but it'd be a benefit to him in the future. But he said, I don't need anything, but you can take care of my servant Chimham, or my son Chimham. Now, he asked that Chimham go to the palace, and David granted that. Now, notice the last one. He was blessed by King David, 2 Samuel 19:39. Do I have anyone reading that? I just don't want to skip anyone. All right. I want to make sure. Now, understand, he said, I don't need it. Nothing for me. I want to go back and be buried. Now, again, that's something a lot of us like. We want to go back and be buried by our family. We want to be buried where mom and dad was buried. So he said, I want to go back to my hometown. I want to go back to my house. I mean, I know my way around. I may not be able to see very well, may not hear very well, but I know my way around the house. And I don't want, I mean, I'd be stubbing my toe in the palace. And I mean, it's such a big place and there's stairs and all that. I mean, not for me, David. I feel more comfortable going back home. So he turned down the life of luxury. By the way, most people would have gobbled that up. He turned down the life of luxury. Now, if you're saying, well, Brother Bart, maybe he was as rich as David. No, trust me, no one was as rich as David. All right? David had, I mean, if you just read all the stuff that the king had and all the, I mean, they got served out of golden vessels most of the time. And I mean, you talk about eating, I mean, the nicest foods and the best foods, they did. I mean, King David had it pretty nice when he was a king. And when he was in the wilderness, trust me, they were probably eating some pretty bad stuff at that time to survive. Sometimes you eat stuff that you wouldn't eat when you don't have to. But again, understand, He was blessed because of the fact that he took care of David during the tough time. Now, that was a look at the man. Now, let's look at the trait, the phrase, a very great man. Now, many times the greatness of a man comes from his position, his riches, or his land. Most of the time, that's what we do. We look at how big their house is, how nice their car is, or how much money they got in the bank. And that tells us, in our mind, how great they are, which is why a lot of people give basketball or sports heroes a big position, or why people do that for movie stars or billionaires or big businessmen. And by the way, some of those people are really terrible people personally. They are rich. They have a lot. But now again, now not all of them are that way. How many of you remember David Robinson here in San Antonio? Now, my son knew David Robinson because my son used to work at GameStop, was a manager at GameStop, and David Robinson and his kids and his family would come in there sometimes. By the way, so did several other Spurs. I won't name their names, but my son said some of the Spurs were really nice guys. David Robinson was one of them, and a really kind guy. But a couple of the others, by the way, they were rich and famous as well, and they were jerks. They were jerks. By the way, the people who made them and who paid their salaries and made them great, they wouldn't give them a time of day when they was out there. Be like, hey, man, I mean, do I come to your house and bother you? They would call people out and mess with people. Now, I realize people like that get tired of people bothering them. And I've never been one to chase around folks. I'm too old and too slow anyway, I wouldn't catch them. But, I mean, the fact is, there are folks that do chase around people like that. But, again, just because someone has a nice house or a nice car or a lot of money doesn't mean they're a good person. Simply means they have a nice car and a lot of money and in a good position. But, again, Barzillai was truly a great man. Barzillai's greatness was not wrapped up in what he had, I know it's the next phrase, but in who he was. Now, again, that's why many times throughout history or throughout the years, you'll have someone say something like, what matters is in here. Because, by the way, this feature here, whether it's tall, short, fat, or skinny, this is not near as important as what's in here. Now, what's in here helps sometimes, too. That's why, I mean, if it's all air, I mean, if someone can blow in this ear and you can feel the air out this ear, that's not good. That's not how it's supposed to be. So, children, if you're like that, that's why we call you a airhead, okay? We call you that for a reason, okay? That's why we say that thing between your ears is an air tunnel, okay? And sometimes you can hear whistling as the air is blowing through. Now, that's not a good thing. You're not supposed to be an airhead, and you're not supposed to have it where you can blow in one ear and feel the air out the other. First off, there's supposed to be a lot of zigzags and stuff, but that's not supposed to happen. But again, understand, there are folks that have nothing up here, and some that have nothing here. Now, they might have a lot out here, but that doesn't matter. What matters is what's in here. And Barzillai was a great man because he had a good heart. Now, he had deep concern for the king and for the people. Now, he didn't just care for the king. A lot of folks honor the people, I mean, in charge. They would have honored the king. They'd have brought David something. But by the way, to feed all of David's people, that's a lot bigger deal. It's not near as much trouble. You could have packed on one mule what you need to feed David. I mean, even the silverware and the plates and stuff and the bed for David. He didn't just bring silverware and a plate and a bed for David. He brought silverware and plate and bed for David's people, for the old folks with David, and for the kids that was with David. And by the way, if you're wondering whether that was a big deal, the answer to that is yes. Because when you've been sleeping on the ground, now, I don't know about you, when I finally get back home, I know we talked to prairies, when you finally get back home, it is so nice when you've been out for a while, and even if you've slept on a good bed. I mean, when you get back home to your house and your fridge, And all that. I mean, it's so nice to get back home. Now, trips are fine. And trips are fun. But, you know, it's such a blessing when you finally get back home. I mean, it's like, I mean, I'm home. So, again, understand, David's out and his people are out. And they're having a tough time. And Barzillai was a blessing during that time. Notice it mentions, it compares it to the story of the Good Samaritan. And, by the way, in the story of the Good Samaritan, he helped someone he didn't know. And in that story, it simply told us to go and do likewise. What it simply meant was, by the way, treat people like they're your neighbor, even if you don't know them. Treat people good. And Barzillai did that. If you're wondering whether Barzillai actually probably knew David before then, he probably did not, as far as personally. He may have never met him. Again, people have often said, well, Block, would you like to shake the hand of a president? Some presidents, yes. Some other presidents, I could do without. Have you ever shook the hand of any presidents? And the answer to that is no. I haven't ever shaken any president's hand, but there's some I would have counted it a privilege and an honor to shake their hand. There's others I would have liked to shake my fist at. I mean, and it's like, why do you do it? Or shake my finger at. Why are you being so stupid? But the truth is, I don't think Barzillai had ever met it. Now, anyone could have went and met David. Trust me, David would have appreciated any food when he was wandering. He'd appreciated any bed. So this is the time that other folks could have stepped up. And there's probably someone later went, oh man, look at Jim Ham. Why is he in the palace? Well, because they'd be like, well, and he probably pokes his wife. Why didn't we think of that? I mean, again, anyone could have helped him, but a lot of people didn't. You know why? Because they were scared of Absalom. And again, by the way, you can't worry about consequences. You have to do right whether the consequences might get you in trouble or not. You have to do the right thing whether you lose your job or not. You have to do the right thing whether it's going to be popular or not. Barzillai did not think about whether this was going to be popular, whether this was going to earn him any brownie points. He did it because it was the right thing to do. David was hungry. David was weary. David was tired, and so was his people. And Barzillai thought, you know what? I can help him at least for a day or two. I mean, I don't have enough. I can't provide for them from now on. My house isn't big enough for them all to sleep here. But you know what? I can give them a day or two of comfort. And I can tell you, like a guy that's been out working all day and you come inside and your wife, or one of the kids has a big old cold drink, and my wife does it all the time for me when I come inside. And again, I use these big cups. I got this big old cup. I mean, I come inside, it's full of ice because I love cold stuff. I don't like anything lukewarm or room temperature. I like it all cold. I mean, when I come inside, it's like, oh, I mean, listen to me. That is priceless. And that's what Barzillai did for David. I mean, he was there for him when David really needed him. Now let's look at the Christian. Now again, notice the very first phrase that said this. Our greatness is determined by what we do for others. We are not great by how much money we make or by what position we hold. The world sees greatness as prosperity and power. God sees greatness a little differently. Now notice the phrase that goes on down. It says, while God looks on the heart. And that came from when he was talking about David. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Now notice it goes on and says, more than one occasion, the scripture records the disciples discussing who was going to be the greatest. By the way, one of the mothers even asked, when you all get to heaven, can my son sit on your right and left hand side? Say, what was she doing? She'd been a normal mom. I mean, can my kids be special when they get to heaven? Now, we're going to look at those verses. I have someone reading Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. Mr. Nathan, stand up and read that, please. Here's what he said. You want to know greatness? Greatness is this. Knowing my commandments, doing my commandments, and then teaching others to do my commandments. Now, he said, that's what will make you great. He also used a child as an example. And again, that came back to, again, he taught him about humility. Matthew chapter 18, who has verses 1 through 4? I know I gave it to somebody. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Caleb. Stand and read Matthew chapter 18, 1 through 4. All right, so again, he used a child. Luke chapter 9, I wasn't sure if we'd have time, but we do have a little bit of time, so I'm going to read it. Luke chapter 9, verse 46, 47, 48 says this, then there arose a reasoning among them which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him. And he said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you, the same shall be greatest. What he said. Now, by the way, were children important back then? Did children have a say? By the way, in our day, and when I say in our day, I'm talking about as old folks' day, the rule was children are best seen and not. Your parents didn't want to hear. They didn't want. By the way, what you said was not. Years ago, one of the school kids said, "Bill Block, can we choose? Can we get like a president and a vice president, and so on and so forth?" And I said, "Why?" And they said, "So we can have a little bit of, so we can have a say in what's going on at the school." You say, "What did Bill Block start doing?" Anyone guess? That's exactly what it is. I started laughing, and I said, by the way, it doesn't matter what you think or what you want. Brother Nichols made the rule book. I enforced the rule book. There isn't any negotiation, okay? This is how it is. So we could make you, and you'd be entitled, you'd be in position only because you'd have zero power. You say, well, we was hoping to maybe make shorter days and longer lunches and more fun PE. That's nice. That might work someplace. By the way, I heard the dumbest thing the other day on WAI. There is some place where the kids get like, I mean, the adults for the, I think it's either for the city council or something. The kids, anyone else hear that beside me? The kids get, there was like four kids on that board and three adults. The kids voted, the school still doesn't. And by the way, it passed and the judge upheld it. Which kid wouldn't vote? We still don't want to go back to a regular school. The kids won 4-3 because the adults, there was only three adult votes and four kid votes. The kids got to vote, and they voted, we don't want to go back to, we're not going back to class. We're still worried about COVID. And by the way, they're a bunch of lying. They just didn't want to go back to class. And by the way, who would as a kid? Now, some of you, I realize, I'll always say something like, well, I loved PE. I loved shop class. I loved girls. I mean, there are certain things I liked about school, but I mean, school itself was not, I mean, you know, wasn't necessarily something, I love sports. But, so, I'll say something like, you know, I went to school because they required it. And then I'll say, that's what most of us, and Miss Reese would always raise her hand. She said, but Block, I really enjoyed school. I said, Miss Reese, stay out of this. I'm not talking to you right now. I mean, but she said, I always liked school. I mean, school was fun for me, and I enjoyed going to school. If you're that rare person that went to school and wanted to go to school, God bless you. If you're like the rest of us, that we went to school because our parents made us. By the way, sometimes we even try to be sick. But my mom had a rule. If you're sick enough to stay home from school, you got to stay in bed. If you're sick enough to stay home from school the second day, you go to the doctor. And our doctor had one simple rule. A penicillin shot cures everything. So when we went to the doctor, he always gave us a shot. Every time we went to him. I mean, I don't care what it was. Whatever you had, penicillin healed it. I mean, and it was always, he'd always go, you need a little sticker. That's what he called it. And I hate shots, so trust me. If I was sick the first day, I always got well between the first day and the second day. I was never sick enough, unless I really was sick, and that didn't happen very often. But again, I didn't have a choice. By the way, if I was sick enough to go to school, unlike some of our kids who get well at night, you know, as soon as mom and dad go to work, I had to stay in bed all day. Now, that there's a lot of, but you say, Brother Locke, you can play games. Oh, yeah, back then we had games. Yeah, right. And bed gets boring after a little while. Trust me. I mean, PE and shop and something, I mean, that at least was fun. But again, understand. In this case, he said, you know what? Be like these children. Children had no power. Children had no position. Children had no say. Just, I mean, be like these kids. I mean, stop. I mean, and by the way, did they love Jesus? The answer to that was yes. Did they want to see Jesus? Did they want to spend time with Jesus? Yeah. So you're saying, you know what? Stop. Be childlike. And by the way, we have to get saved the same way. And then the last point there says greatness was being a servant. Now, by the way, he heard them arguing as they was taking a trip. He heard them having a discussion. Kind of like parents sometimes hearing the kids in the back seat. You may not really be paying that much attention, but sometimes you hear them talking and carrying on. By the way, when they don't know you're hearing, listening, sometimes they talk. Kids are stupid. Sometimes I'm in the bathroom. I'm sitting in a stall, and they're outside the stall talking about stuff. Then later on, they get in trouble. It's like, how'd you know? I'm thinking, next time look under the door, stupid. I mean, my feet were there. It wasn't like I put my feet up and stood on the toilet. I was in there. You recognize my shoes. I mean, you know. But, by the way, if you wonder, you can also hear if you stand outside the doors. I don't have to go in the girls' bathroom. By the way, you can hear the girls talking from the boys' bathroom. The girls are that loud. The girls would later say, how'd you know? And I'm saying, well, stop talking so loud. I can hear you in the boys' bathroom. I was in the boys' bathroom. It's like, wah, 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 wah. I mean, so yes, I knew what was going on because y'all talk so loud. Okay? That's why when you tell a secret, you usually say it quietly. But the truth is, they were arguing. Who has Matthew chapter 23, verse 10 and 11? Who was that? Roland, is that you? Stand to read for us, son. Here's what he said. You guys want to be important? Serve people. Be a servant. Now, again, that is one of my goals. I don't always succeed in that. But one of my goals is to try to be a good servant. I don't want to be served. I want to serve you. Now, it is nice from time to time to be served. But I can tell you, it's just been the last time or two that we've had in a Valentine's banquet that I've actually sat and ate the meal when everyone else sat and ate the meal. You know why? Because I like to serve the kids. I want them to know this is your night. This is for you. And I would try to serve the food. I'll go over to the servers and say, Brother Mark, go sit down. We got plenty of servers. And it's like, mind your own business. I'm running this show. If I want to serve, I can serve. But, I mean, they're bossy. I mean, them women back there, I mean, they get pretty lippy. I mean, they want me to go sit down. But I didn't want to sit down. I wanted to be able, because I want the kids to know I'm here for you. Tonight's your night. This is your special. It wasn't for Brother Block. I mean, I look good all the time. I mean, that wasn't my night. I mean, this was their night. I mean, so I want them to know this Valentine's banquet, this is for you. This is your big night. This is the night that, I mean, this is the night I want you to enjoy and to remember. But again, he said, you know what? You want to be somebody? Become a nobody. Be a servant. You want to become someone important? Then just start serving people. And by the way, that is what Barzillai, I mean, he is an example of that. He's the epitome of that. He went way out of his way at 80 years of age. By the way, if you wonder if that trip was hard for him, it was. You say, well, he had a ride. Well, I don't know whether he got up on a donkey or a horse or whether he walked. By the way, it's why walking is hard at 80. Riding also isn't any fun at 80. So whichever transportation he took to get to David, and by the way, from what we can tell, he was along with the group that went to David. It was a lot of work for him. It wasn't a walk in the park. He's 80 years old. I don't know if he had a cane. He couldn't hardly see. He had someone probably had. I mean, he told him later. He said, "I can't hardly hear. Can't hardly see." I mean, again, he was 80 years old, but he still wanted to be a servant. He wanted to be a blessing to David. And did David remember? Yes, he surely did. Again, if you want to become somebody, be a nobody for the Lord, and that's how you become somebody. Father, thank you for today. Pray, Lord, you'd help us to have learned a lesson from the lesson this morning that might be a blessing and help to us in our Christian lives. Bless the next service in Jesus' name. Amen. It is now break time. Teenagers, Brother Bajot will probably have snacks.